Well, I try not to put too many peculiarities in sermon titles, underlining, italics, anything strange like that, but I really needed to do it this week because this little four-word sentence, this four-word question, is a very interesting one because depending on where you put the emphasis, you end up with completely different questions. And the question I want us to think about is, what do you want? Not, what do you want? Or worse yet, what do you want? Or the ever favorite, rather whiny, what do you want? Aren't those different? They're completely different. And we hear them often, but I want us to just think of that first one. What do you want? And as I was talking to the children, there's something about us that finds it difficult frequently to actually say what it is that we want. The sermon obviously comes from our gospel lesson this morning, the story of Bartimaeus, one of my favorite stories in the New Testament. I get different things from it depending on where I am at various life stages, and that's just the way Scripture is, or any great work of literature for that matter. But this is a fascinating story. We have many of the pictures that we often get in the stories of Jesus. We have Jesus walking along, there's crowds, there's disciples. Somebody wants something, everybody tells that person to be quiet. I'm not quite sure what they thought Jesus was there for. If it wasn't to be bothered, what were they doing there? But anyway, Jesus says, no, bring him over. And asks them the question, what do you want me to do for you? And for those of us who are looking at this story from this end, and we're looking at it from a particular perspective, that seems like almost a strange question, because what could the answer possibly be other than I want to be able to see? There's lots of other answers. Bartimaeus could have said, I want lots of money. Could have said, I want a better place where I can beg so I'll get more money. He could have said, he could have said almost anything. But he actually answered what it was that he wanted. We do no one any favors by not saying or admitting what it is that we want when somebody asks us what we want. There's something about our culture that has put this very confusing spin on things. On the one hand, we have a culture that says instant gratification is almost too long to wait for something. And at the same time, if you say what you actually want, you're looked at as, being greedy or being something that you don't want to be. And you're stuck in this cleft stick that sort of no matter what you do, there's a good chance you're going to feel that you did something wrong. Well, being asked what you want is an interesting experience if the person asking actually wants to know. Because what I find interesting is that in responding to the question, what do you want, it's often one of the ways for us to discern what that actually is. Often when we ask people, and especially with children, we ask, what do you want? They say, I don't know. And when we're impatient and in a hurry, and what we think we know what the answer is already, we go, oh, of course you know. Well, maybe they don't. Maybe we need to think a little bit about what it is we want to figure out what it is that we want. And rushing someone to answer any question is hardly ever helpful. In this case, it can really get in the way. As some of you know, Heather bought a car a little while ago. After more than 20 years of being a one-car family, with twins and then with three kids, we somehow managed to make it work. But with her going to university, some other things, we just thought, oh, okay, this is a complication we no longer really want in our lives. Let's see if we can come up with some other way to get a car. And so she talked it over with me. She talked it over with her spiritual director. And her spiritual director said something very, very intriguing. Spiritual director said, don't be afraid to ask for what you want. And superficially, we think, well, that's a dumb thing to say. But when we think about it, we go, no, actually, that's something all of us could probably pay attention to, isn't it? That don't be afraid to ask for what you want, to at least get it out there. So she went to the car dealership and had an extraordinary experience where after the introductions, the salesman said to her, don't be afraid to ask for what you want. Now, there are lots of people out there who believe in coincidences, and I have no problem with them as human beings. I do not. I believe in similarity of experience, which some people call coincidence, but I'm more inclined to believe that the Holy Spirit does things that we call coincidences because then we don't have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. And I think this might have been one of them, because it started Heather on this process of completing a thought. Because, of course, when we decided we need a new car, her first thought, coming from her background and all that, was what's the cheapest car we can possibly get? And there's nothing wrong with frugality. We're not talking about frugality here. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want, then you should go and get that. But under the gentle pressure of her spiritual director, this salesperson, and certainly the Holy Spirit, Heather realized that no, she didn't want the cheapest car we could get. And we need to pay attention to the fact that what we want is hardly ever a moral issue one way or the other. What we want is just what we want. But if we don't admit what we want, we can't deal with what it actually is. And she realized she didn't want the cheapest car possible. She wanted a car that was dependable. She wanted a car with a warranty. When it came right down to it, she wanted a new car. Nothing wrong with that. Took her a while to get there, as it does for many of us, because we've been told, particularly if you grew up in a particular kind of home, that you should never want new. You should always get as little as you can to get by, whatever that means in the long haul. It was never really considered. And so she talked to the salesperson. She realized that there were a couple of possibilities for her, and there was, in the end, they sort of came down. It was a Volkswagen dealership. This was before that whole diesel thing, and we don't have a diesel, so our hands are clean. It came down to a Jetta or a Passat. And she realized that what popped up in her head was, well, of course you'll get the Jetta because it's cheaper and it's smaller. And she realized that no, she didn't want the Jetta. That the Jetta didn't have the things that she wanted just because she wanted them. Not because there was some scripture in the Bible that said you should have this feature, because there's nothing in the Bible about cars. But she realized that what she wanted was this particular car. And that's what she got. And coming through this process, reflecting upon it and how difficult it was for her and how difficult it is for me, but we're going to use this. By the way, I did get Heather's permission to tell this story. Well, when I told her what I was preaching on, she said, you should talk about me getting the car. Because what it does and what is highlighted in our scripture passage is expressing what we want often says way more about us than we would like. What we want and what we ask for tells us more about what we think of God than we might like. Because have you ever noticed Jesus' last statement in this little story? Bartimaeus says, I want to see. Jesus says, go, I'm wonderful, you can see. No, that's not what he says. He doesn't say, I, the Son of God, God incarnate while human at the same time, have made you see. He says, go, your faith has healed you. And when I was younger, I thought, well, what's that in there for? What faith? There's no faith involved. Yes, there is faith. There's a lot of faith involved. When Jesus said, what do you want? Bartimaeus could have said, I want 10 bucks or whatever the equivalent was back then. Bartimaeus asked for what he wanted because he knew what he wanted could be granted by the one whom he asked. That's where the faith comes in. James says we don't have wisdom because we don't ask. All through Scripture, in all kinds of contexts, we are reminded to ask for what we want. Knowing that a good God, our Father of heavenly lights, from whom all good gifts essentially come, will give us that what we want when we ask in accordance with His will. When we don't ask God for what we want, we're not somehow being virtuous, no matter what we might think. I'd put it to you that when we don't ask God for what we want, there's two things going on. First of all, that we don't think God wants us to have what we want, or we know at some level that what we're asking for is something we shouldn't have. There might be other possibilities, I'm certainly open to that, but those are the two that leap to my mind. Anyone who has children of their own or interacts with children on a regular basis has dealt with this incredibly aggravating thing where you ask your kid what they want, and you usually know what it is, and they say, I don't know. You say, just tell me what you want. And sometimes you get really frustrated because you think, you should know this. And sometimes they do, and they're just being coy, or they're just doing whatever. But what it frequently comes back to with us is we're thinking, look, do you think I'm not going to give you this thing? Who's this imaginary father you're thinking of who doesn't give you what you want when what you want is something to eat? And sometimes we need to be patient because children are going through this discernment process as well, trying to figure out what it is they want. But sometimes we need to push them to say, look, when was the last time you asked for toast with something on it? I said no. And they usually have to admit the answer is never. Why do you think I would say no this time? And I'm not sure where it comes from, but that reticence that our children have to ask us for what they actually want, we get frustrated with. Well, I suspect God, in his divine attributes of frustration, whatever those look like, has those with us too. When I ask my kid, okay, we have toast for breakfast this morning, what do you want on it? And they say, I don't know. I just say, well, here are your options. Pick one. Well, I want Nutella. Okay, here you go. All I'm looking for is to figure out what jar do I open. I'm not looking at some kind of judgment on this, and I've given you Nutella on toast for breakfast. Every other time you've asked for it, just like I've given you peanut butter, or jam, or cheese, or anything, or butter, or nothing on toast. Where does this come from? I don't know. But it drives us crazy, doesn't it? Thankfully, God is not driven to madness. But if he were, I suspect this would be one of the things that would do it. Over and over and over again, God asks us, what do you want? And he's not asking to maneuver us into a corner so we'll ask for something awful any more than our children do. When I push my kids to say what they want, they've never said, yeah, I want to set fire to the house. They've never said, I want to drive, even though I'm only 8. What they say is, I want this for supper instead of that. Okay. I want us to all go to the park together. Okay, let's go. And we look at this with children, and it's kind of frustrating, kind of cute, and kind of a bunch of things all together. It becomes a little less so when we look at ourselves. And we think, this is exactly what I do with God. When the opportunity for me, and I'm only speaking for me, I don't have any divine insight into what's going on in your lives, although I suspect you're familiar with this. If not right now, you are in the past and probably will be in the future, for better or for worse. God says, what do you want? And I think, what does God want me to want? That's not the question he asks. He asks, what do you want? Just tell him. If it turns out it's something you shouldn't have, that will become clear. But until you actually admit what it is that you want, how can anything become clear? If you spend all of your time trying to second guess, what does the waiter really mean when the waiter says, what do I want? The waiter wants to know what you want so they can get on with their job. We don't do that with waiters. Why do we do it with our significant other? Why do we do it with our kids or parents? And most of all, why do we do it with God, who already knows what we want? And he's asking the question so that we'll answer it for ourselves, not because it's going to be a surprise to him. Just answering this question will tell you all kinds of things about yourself that are really valuable. The inability to answer the question or the struggle you have tells you something pretty important about yourself too. If when God asks you, what do you want? And you think, well, I want the cheapest car possible. As Heather said, is this the God that I actually follow and that I want to worship? The God that says, get the very minimum always. How does that match up with so much of Scripture? How does that match up with Jesus who said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full? Jesus didn't say, I came that you might have life and have it to just enough to scrape by. No, to the full. And sometimes that means a new car. Sometimes it means the joyful acceptance of not a new car. If Heather would have worked through this process of saying, this is what I want, and would have been guided through that discerning process to some other car, she still would have got the car she wanted, because answering the question to begin with helped identify what it was she wanted. And through this process, she discovered that in some ways, she still needs to work hard, just like I do, at getting beyond our misunderstanding of God and His desires for us that developed for lots of us when we were little. And we didn't understand what was going on in our parents' lives and in the life of the church and some other things. And we got this idea that God was the God of just enough. And we heard stories of missionaries who were almost out of things, and then they suddenly miraculously appeared, and we thought, well, okay, that's the way it is all the time. You're just at the brink, and then you're brought back. And yes, sometimes you are, and it's a wonderful thing when that happens. Was King Solomon ever at the brink of anything? No. He wasn't perfect any more than I am. He had some serious problems, not least of which the inability to count past one as it came to wives. Did he live a life of privation? No. Was the life he lived part of the judgment against him? Also, no. There's room for a huge range of experience in the Christian life. And for us to think that it's always about privation, that it's always about as little as possible, just doesn't match up with Scripture, with church history, and with our own experience. God often blesses us way beyond what we ever would have expected. Why do we think, when He asks us what we want, that all He wants to give us is just enough so we'll be quiet? That's not a good parent, and that's not God. God asks us what we want so we can hear ourselves expressing our desires. And often He meets them. Sometimes He doesn't, and sometimes our desires change. But how does something change if you don't ever identify what it is in the first place? You can't. It just makes you unhappy because you don't really know what's going on. I'm sure that if Bartimaeus would have said, I want 10 bucks, well, actually, I'm not sure. I wonder if Jesus would have just given him 10 bucks and kept moving. But I know for me that now and then, when God has said, what do you want? And my response has been the equivalent of 10 bucks. And what I needed was to be able to see. God has said, are you sure? In the same way that sometimes with my kids, I say, well, what is it? What do you want? Oh, I just want some toast. Are you sure? Is that all you want? I'll be happy to make you toast. But is that all you want? Well, I saw that cake in the fridge. Well, we should eat that cake because that's why I made it. So we could eat it. It's not for a special occasion at all. It's there for us to eat. And we were going to eat it after supper, but it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It seems like cake time to me. Isn't that a wonderful experience on both sides? Would it have been less wonderful when I asked, what do you want? The answer was, I want some of that cake. No, it would have been just as wonderful. God is going to ask you at some point, if He hasn't already, what do you want? He really wants to know. The fact that through his omniscience he knows already is completely irrelevant to you because you're not omniscient. I'm not omniscient. When God asks, what do you want? Just tell him. If it turns out it's something you shouldn't have, that'll become clear. But won't it be wonderful when he just gives it to you? When our Heavenly Father, the Father of lights, the source of all good things and every good thing in your life, gives you yet another good thing, won't that be worth celebration? Having to work into it won't make it any better. It just means it takes longer. So just tell him. Amen.